Now, I don't know how many of you were at the masjid on Saturday morning, but I gave a little analogy of how the deen, how our deen is compared to the deen of the people before us. Literally on Wednesday morning, before I came here, I was stopped at a red light. There was a SUV in front of me, and I was stopped behind that SUV, and this was in the south side of Chicago where I work, and this car came from 30 miles an hour behind me, slammed into me, and threw me into the car, threw my car into the car ahead of it. So the car ahead of it, the car ahead of me, he just floored it and he drove off because he probably didn't have insurance. The car behind me, those two guys were under the age of 16. They were just two kids driving a car. So they didn't have insurance either. They were shocked that they had hit me. They came and they pulled up and they said, you know, are you okay? Is everything okay? And then they started realizing what they had done, and they said, you know, there's no damage to your car. Don't worry about it. Everything's okay. So they said, okay, pull over. Let's check out everything. So I saw my car was a little bit damaged in front. I pulled over, and they drove off. And I knew they were going to drive off. And I just kind of went outside, looked at my car, and I started laughing. And I said, you know, it doesn't make a difference because I have an old car. It already has dents in it. It makes no difference if that car is damaged or not. Who really cares? What difference does it make? I came home. I laughed about it with my wife as well. It's already previously damaged, so it doesn't bother you. But if I was driving a brand new Mercedes, I would have been upset. I would have been really upset because here I just lost out. I would have had all this damage on my car and I would have had to pay. And when I thought about this later on, I thought, well, subhanAllah, this is exactly like iman. In this day and age, our iman is so beaten up and so almost worthless in the way we treat it that we do so many other bad things to it and we don't care. We miss a prayer, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, eat this and eat that, who cares? Oh, I saw this and I went and watched the movie and I saw everything I shouldn't have seen. It doesn't make a difference. I don't feel bad. I feel good. I'm the same person. The reason why we feel good is because you have so many dents. It doesn't make a difference. You can't see it. Our iman is so dented and so beaten up that we can't tell when we interact and all these different things with our environment. So we've made our iman like a broken down car. But if you built your iman like a Mercedes and then something hits it, you would feel it. And you would hurt and you would feel it for days on end. You would regret it for weeks. This is why the Sahaba, when they would miss a night of Tahajjud, they would cry for a year. For a year they would remember, a year ago, last 15th of Sha'ban, I missed my Tahajjud. What happened on that day? They would be crying for a full year. Because their iman was like a Mercedes. It had no dent. And that was a small dent that hit their iman. They couldn't take it. They had developed their iman to such an extent. And in this day and age, we've just basically trashed our iman. We've made our hearts trash receptacles. So throw in another movie, it doesn't matter, there's kissing, there's women without hijab. We sit and watch the news, and we're serving the deen. It's a woman, she's completely dressed herself up to attract us. We're just sitting and looking, we don't even know what's going on, and we're serving the deen because we're learning about the plight of the Philistini Muslims. We can't feel it because our iman has been so dented, it makes no difference. Same thing with eating. Our mashayikh and our elders and those people who have developed their iman, when they eat something that is not good, right away they can feel it. One time, the sheikh of my sheikh visited one of his students' houses. And they brought in the food to serve that sheikh. When they brought in the food to serve the sheikh said to the host of the house, since when have you started bringing pig into your house? The host of the house freaked out. He said, oh my God, the sheikh is saying that my food is from pig. He couldn't believe it. He picked up all the food and he went back in the kitchen and he asked his wife, where did this food come from? The sheikh is saying, how did you get pig in your house? We don't have any pig in our house. So the wife of the host, she said, actually what happened is our neighbor has been asking me for months that the next time your sheikh comes, I want to serve your sheikh. This food wasn't cooked in our house. It was cooked in the house of our neighbor. And so she must be doing something wrong. And so the effects came in that food. But he was able to pick up on it, that sheikh. Because he could sense it because his iman and his basira was so deep that he was able to pick up on these things. So that's why we have to develop our iman. So many people say to me, oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't control my eyesight. Or I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't stop watching TV. Or I can't stop listening to music. Or I can't control the food that I eat. And the answer is you're not going to be able to. If I gave you a list of 25 rules, you're not going to be able to fulfill those rules. There's got to be some gain and loss involved. When you develop your iman to such a state that if you eat something mashkuk, you won't wake up the next day for tahajjud and you lose that taste, that's when you'll stop eating mashkuk food or doubtful food. When you develop your iman to that level that you lose something when you do something wrong, that's when it's easier to avoid some of these things that are so detrimental to our spiritual development. So you've got to develop your iman. That's the only way. You have to develop your iman. And the way it happens is you've got to take out time from your busy schedule. That's why you've got to spend 2 months, 3 months somewhere reflecting on Allah, doing dhikr in the presence of those people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that you have to live like a hermit, but there requires a certain period in your life when you emulate the example of the cave of Hira. See, the Prophet ﷺ is going here with these great characteristics of serving people, and then he spends incredible periods of time worshipping and connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he returns back to humanity, and then he begins to interact with humanity. And then there's a beautiful balance between serving people by day and praying tahajjud at night. And that was the Prophet's example. That's how he balanced things. He worked with the people during the day, and he spent his time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night.